Hello everyone, and welcome to another practice focus all about the patient engagement. Today we are talking about the second aspect of the clinical experience. This really is also the second triangle of trust. After the interview, okay, when we move into the clinical exam portion, our clinical team member has done an amazing job of building the case, of working through the materials that you did last month, and now we're ready for the almighty doctor to walk into the room and to make the magic happen. So today I'm very excited because this really is the essence of everything that we've been culminating up towards, and it is what will determine right now, right here, this is what will determine the success of the rest of the patient experience. So I introduce you to this amazing new concepts that you can practice and work together as a team on and improve your ability to help the patients. And now we begin. As I said, today we begin one of the most significant and most often underutilized, neglected, and completely missed parts of the patient experience that makes everything that happens from this moment forward so much easier to achieve. Right now, we are entering into the very essence of the triangle where the clinical team member is conveying all the information over to the doctor. This is incredibly powerful when done right and absolutely detrimental when done wrong or not done at all, because it deflates the momentum and defaults all focus back to tunnel vision, short-term diagnosis, instead of long-term optimal health and big-picture dentistry. By now, you should be experts at naturally and effectively creating goals and expectations for your patients before they ever even open their mouths. And also, you should be excellent at seamlessly taking the records and engaging the patient with them so that you have built up a case. You've solved the problems that exist and planted seeds of the future outcome and benefits of what is possible for their health, mouth, smile, and whatever other key objectives you have as part of your clinical approach in your practice. To make this very simple, the idea of the triangle of trust from the clinical team member to the doctor is designed around four key elements. The first one is to save the doctor time and to give the doctor focus. As we know, the doctor is moving from room to room, patient to patient, a lot on their mind, okay, and a lot going on. If they have to come in to any patient, hygiene, operative, new patient, emergency patient, consult patient, any patient, and they have to go on a discovery for themselves. They have to pick up the information off the floor, off the computer, out of the chart, out of the patient's mouth even. Then it takes time. It also loses the human element. It loses the relationship aspect of this. And so it's so critical that we save the doctor time. This is what will allow them to secure a comprehensive diagnosis. Most of the time when our doctors shortchange the diagnosis, which is the single thing holding your practice back, by the way, okay, it is either done because of, one, the doctor doesn't have time, two, because, of course, they're bashful about the treatment. In most cases, the more time we have, the more comprehensive the diagnosis will be, and more importantly than even the comprehensiveness of the diagnosis is the actual ability to engage and make it interactive with the patient. We also want the doctor to be able to focus on what they're doing, what's right in front of their face, this patient. They're not going to remember every patient throughout every day. You're providing them with the cliff notes, with the details, with the setting them up for success. The second element is you're positioning the doctor properly and giving the doctor status that they deserve. They're not coming in with the idea that they're a clerk or a car mechanic or something. There's nothing wrong with clerks and car mechanics. But we want the doctor to have an elevated positioning. So you need to say very beautiful and amazing things about the doctor. Okay? When they walk into the room, you stand up properly. You say, patient, I'm so excited and so happy for you to have the opportunity to meet today Dr. So-and-so. And the doctor is really, of course, as I've been telling you all day, a very special person, and they're going to know just how to take care of you and give you the best care. Now, you're telling the patient these things and introducing the doctor so that the doctor has a welcomed introduction. As you well know, okay, people who are important get introduced. Now, the third aspect of this is the doctor, okay, is designed to be able to deliver the good news. What we want is for the doctor not to be the one who's telling the patient about all the problems. Now, of course, there's going to be some element of this explanation, but more often than not, what we want is for the problems to already be created and the doctor to be able to say, great news, we're going to take care of you. And you know, I call this the superhero mentality. If we don't want the patient attaching all the money and the problems and all these other things to the doctor, we want the patient to be able to see the doctor and be very happy because they're going to bring them all of the solutions. So the fourth element, and really I would say above all else, it ensures that the patient hears everything again. In your words, not theirs, and you use your skills to draw out the importance of the problems, the treatments, the goals that have been discussed with the patient. This makes them more emotionally committed and mentally involved in the treatment and the process. More important even than hand-delivering all this information to the doctor is to be able for the patient to hear it again themselves. Now, before I explain the best way to do this triangle, let me tell you what is not the best way. The biggest mistakes that are made are the following. Could be doctor comes in to no introduction. Could be doctor comes in and is rushing, okay? Maybe even visibly rushing, maybe just mentally rushing. It could be the doctor comes in, says hi, and goes straight into the mouth. Very terrible. Very bad, bad, bad. Could be the doctor and the clinical team member talk diagnosis to each other and not to and with the patient. Could be doctor walks in and there's nothing set up, nothing ready to go, no pictures, nothing that's organized, so therefore it's very inefficient. The clinical team member could also and not give personal information as well or communicate the goals of the patient and summarize everything, ideally, visually to the doctor. If you avoid these five or six mistakes, then for the most part, you can't mess it up. Now the question becomes, how well can you do it? Okay? Can we have an amazing victory right now? Ultimately, if you finish this doctor exam portion and you leave without a decision with the patient on the next steps, the overall treatment and health objectives and outcomes, or something that is conclusive, then you have failed. You've ultimately failed, and you'll be setting up the next team member to be climbing an uphill battle to secure the investment and scheduling on anything of substance. So again, remember, this piece, if you think you have patients that complain about the money, they bring up the insurance, they diminish the treatment, they don't accept, if you have a retention problem, but you all have an element of all the things I just mentioned, then you please understand this, that more of it is based on what happens in this spot right here, in this doctor exam portion, than anything else. More of it is about this right here. So if you fix and master this, every other aspect of the patient experience becomes infinitely easier and more capable of being perfected, okay? So let's walk through the best ways to build the case, to perform the clinical exam, to create the treatment plan, and ultimately get what we want, which is a clinical yes. Say the words, clinical yes. Do you hear me? Because this is the yes we must receive. There's no other yes going to happen without this one first. I can't overemphasize, okay? You can never get tired of me saying this, because this is the secret of all secrets, is making sure the doctor receives and gets the clinical yes before we move on to anything else. Now, this is a long step process. I'm going to give you 12 steps. Please understand that they don't go, you know, like a checklist, that when you do it properly, it's breaking it down in a dialogue form. You know, it's more like four or five different stages of the experience, but I want to make it very, very simple. So, of course, the first step, the clinical team member is going to introduce the doctor and give some light personals, okay, tell some personal information. This is the patient. You know, they've been here, living here for such a long time. They're referred to us by so-and-so. You know, doctor, it's a funny thing. They also love doing whatever. Okay, you give some light personals. The doctor says hello, shakes hands, looks them in the eyes, and exchanges them small pleasantries. No, it's nice meeting you. I'm happy to hear you. You know, I have two children, too, going to the same college, blah, 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 whatever. Step three, the doctor looks back at the team member and asks for the update. This is where our doctors usually screw it up, okay, because they go straight into the patient and the diagnosing instead of moving back to the team member to let the team member tell them everything that's happened. So ideally we say, so, now, team member, tell me, how are we going to help Mr. Patient today? And then it sets up the team member beautifully to move into step number four, where the clinical team begins about the patient's goals, concerns, challenges. They restate the expectations that have been shared. This is circling back to our original interview from the very first triangle. We're now inserting that information here. Clinical team member is now setting the patient back up for success by reminding them what they said they wanted to see happen. Step number five, the clinical team member pulls up the records, which, by the way, the facial smile photo should have been already on there, or some element of a picture should have been already on there. Extra oral, retracted view, smile photo there, front and center, ideally. Okay, now the team member is going to quickly walk through, pulling up the pictures, scanning the intraorals, going back up to the x-rays, and just telling a few things to the doctor. I noticed a little bit over here, we talked about this. You know, the patient is very uncomfortable with this certain area in their frontal smile. Okay, as you can see, doctor, we definitely have some perio challenges going on here. You know, whatever. You're telling the doctor all the problems, presenting the clinical information as if you were back in school and you're reading the x-rays. You're going over the photographs, you're telling the doctor, so important that you pick out key items and bring it into perspective so that the patient's entire mouth, okay, is brought into the forefront of the conversation with the patient and the doctor. Clinical team members, please, whatever you do, do not go back to being problem-focused. You want to be optimal health-focused, bringing about all quadrants of the mouth, the smile, the bite, everything, okay, gums, teeth, occlusion, everything. Whatever your clinical objectives are in your practice, obviously, you're making this portion as relevant as possible. Now, step six, the doctor asks a few questions, ideally to the patient, to bring them back into the discussion about what the clinical team member said. Now, you could ask the clinical team member, would you please bring up that other quadrant photo again, the back left side, whatever, you're going to use your clinical words probably. And then you're going to say, now, patient, you notice over here, you can see your teeth is very broken down. We can even visibly see that crack. Okay? Or you say, you know, you have a lot of gum recession on this side. Or you say, please bring up the x-rays. Now, patient, if I just pull this up here and you're going to play doctor, point to wherever you see the major problem going on. Okay? Then you say, well, you see over here the cracks right here. You can see the breaking down. You see this problem down here in the roots. Okay, you say to the patient, you say, now, patient, we're looking at this small photo right here. I can make some assessments myself. Obviously, I do this all day long. What would you want to say to me about this picture? And then you let the patient move with this information, emotionally get back involved. If there's another place where most doctors mess it up, it's right here. You do not follow what we agreed to, you and I, in the very, very beginning, that you would ask the patient more questions, okay? So important. Step number seven, let me say, unless you ask the patient questions, they don't own the discussion. They don't own the treatment. They don't own the problems, okay? Number seven, remember, moving from need to want to deserve is a question process. Based on the responses, the doctor is searching for the patient to engage in something. Okay, you want the doctor to go deeper into the vision, okay? And you want to bring up the patient's goals to your vision. Now, let me say to you right now, in step number seven, This is where we do something that no one on the earth ever tells you about. That is where we connect your clinical philosophy, okay, or what I say the doctor's vision, with what I call the patient's optimal. We want to move the patient's optimal up to, okay, by the way, patient's optimal means what does the patient want? Okay, the patient's going to settle for as little as possible. That's not the patient's optimal. When they walk through the door, whatever they want is not the patient's optimal. Our job is to raise up the patient's awareness, their desire, okay, their expectation for themselves, and we're supposed to lift up to where the patient is even with you. Now, we may not get all the way there. We may not. But we want the patient to want total comprehensive treatment all at once. Okay, total mouth, everything, reconstructive, everything, state of ideal, state of perfection, state of normal. And unless you do questioning, the patient's going to stay down at their level. So questions lift them up. Step number 7, what I said was the doctor must be searching for something within this patient portion, okay? And from those questions to be able to grab onto, that's going to be your ticket. Okay, to lift the patient up to what your standard is. Never forget right now, you have to have a deep discussion about the goals, the vision of the future, the master plan for the long-term health. Okay, remember, the need, want, deserve I've given you. Remember the questions tied to pictures, proof, and pain. Remember those 6 things, need, want, deserve, pictures, proof, and pain. If you go back and study that psychology from our training so long ago, okay, you should have made it muscle memory by now. Now, step number 8. Can you imagine? Step number 8 out of 12 steps. We haven't even begun the exam. The doctor then asks for permission to begin the exam and then reads the clinical information off to the team member to create the charts, to make the notes, and to begin the foundation of the treatment plan. Now, rest assured, step 1 through 7 doesn't take very long. Okay? Less time probably than what I'm even explaining to you. And it's so important that step number 8 is the exam, not step number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we're just now getting into the mouth. Why? Because all of the beginning steps made it about the person, the human, the patient. It did not make it just about the clinical treatment. You have to make it about the person. Now, step number 8, we can tie your exam. You're going to do your same exam, of course, but we can tie your emphases back to the patient's desires because you already know them. If you do the exam first, you don't know nothing about the patient's situation, about what they're really going to engage with you on. If you just make sure you follow this right here, my goodness, you're going to have so much fun because the patient's going to do everything. Now, this, again, is the passing back of the information from the doctor to the team member. We're switching it, because this is where we're actually creating the treatment plan and the diagnosis. Step number 9, as the exam is being done, the doctor should be making a decision as to what the next step will be. Will it be hygiene? Will it be perio and scaling? Will it be study models? Will it be some emergency step? Will you be presenting treatment today, or will you be bringing them back in for a treatment conference? And, of course, for our specialists, we're always looking for same-day opportunities to initiate the treatment process. In other words, to start the impressions. Okay? Whenever records are needing to be done, ideally you want to do it the same day. They have to wait, whatever you have to do. You don't want multiple step. Okay? You want to ideally get them while they're excited, and then by doing the impressions, it gives them a commitment to want to come back because you've done something to them already. Therefore, they want to know what the hell's the next step. They want to know. They come back for the answer, the surprise, the outcome. If you delay all the next steps, the patient can change their mind because they feel no sense of obligation or entitlement because you have not brought them enough into the process. Remember, you want the patient to be treated like a team member. They're part of the team. This number 9 step is critical because you want to be definitive about the next step. Everything's fine, we're going to hygiene. Everything's a disaster, we're going to take care of the gums first. Okay? Everything is completely train wrecked out, and you have to have total treatment plan presentations, so we're going to do a conference. Or we've got a major issue here we're going to execute on, or treatment. It's not so much. It's under five figures. We're going to go ahead and present it today and get the patient to commit. You have to be deciding. Doctors, do not be wishy-washy about this. This has nothing to do with building the treatment plan. You're still going all in on the treatment plan. You want to have a total comprehensive treatment plan. But whether you go all in on telling them this yet, you have to be able to make a decision, gut intuitive decision. Now, ultimately, the treatment coordinator can also have a piece as well. You can relay all the information to the patient. You can let the treatment coordinator initiate the next steps. That is your prerogative, but there has to be something determined. Step number 10, the doctor finishes and says, let's review our plan. Two, insert their goals right here. Okay, let's review our plan. Two, boom, insert the goals, whatever they said originally. You're going to relate to the original questions and answers that were done in steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then going back to reviewing the photographs by pointing out and talking through the overall comprehensive treatment plan. So going, remember how I say the treatment coordinator should go through the photograph again? So should you. The team member went through them. The clinical team member presented the photographs to you. Now you've gone through everything and engaged the patient. You've moved into your exam and built your diagnosis. Now, before you verbally spew your clinical mumbo-jumbo to the patient, you're going to go back and restate their goals and remind them of the purpose that you two agreed upon in step 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then you're going to go back to photographs. And doctor, ba-bing, bada-bang, you're going to go back to photographs and talk through the treatment plan visually, please, okay? It doesn't take any time. It's a photograph. Put it up, point out, next. Put it up, point out, next. And you just rearticulate the treatment plan in a way that they will see it. Step 11, are you ready? Because this is the secret. Okay, every step matters, but this one right here, this is the ultimate magic potion. Step number 11, the doctor is going to turn to the patient, and you're going to ask them, so patient, we've covered so much information today. The good news is we're going to, and you insert the positive statement, we're going to give you the beautiful smile you always wanted and that you deserve. You deserve it so much. Now, the bad news is, unfortunately, we have some significant challenges here that we're going to have to work through. But don't you worry. You're in good hands, and it's all going to be just fine. Okay? Or you say, the good news is, we're going to get you healthy. We're going to get you eating again. I mean, a nice big bite of an apple, that juicy steak that you love. Okay? Or the ice cream's not going to hurt your teeth because we're going to fix all the sensitivities. Now, the bad news is, you know, we got some work to do. Hey, you don't deserve to have these problems, and they sure aren't going to fix themselves. Hey, there's nothing in here that we're looking at that's going to go away on its own, naturally. So that's why you're here, and I'm really happy about it, because we're going to take care of you, and you're going to be so happy. Now, excuse me. So what you have to understand is that you're giving an affirmative statement, but you're overcoming objections by inserting a reminder that what we're talking about is not just good news. Okay, you have bad news that must be taken care of. Now, I love good news, bad news. You can use whatever you want. But if all you do is say to the patient, we've covered a lot of things today, and here's what we're going to do. The patient is saying, no, we're not going to do any of that. Because they don't feel like they have to. But when you anchor the plan with the reason, they feel obligated. No patient is going to let the doctor say, you know, you got these challenges going on in your mouth. You're going to lose these teeth if we don't take action. That's why you're here, and you made a great decision today to move forward with it, and I want to say congratulations. Now, is any patient going to say to you, well, I think I really don't want to do that? No, because you've told them what they're supposed to say. Can I tell you something that I may have never told you before? I'm going to use the word, okay? One of the most powerful something, okay? Selling, it's what it is. One of the most powerful things to do is to tell the other person what they're supposed to do before you ask them to do it. Now, this is 100% engaging the patient. I'm going to read it one more time to you so you get it down. I'm not going to just articulate. I'm going to read it exactly. You're going to look at the patient. You're going to say, patient, we've covered so many things today, so much information. The good news is we've got a powerful plan that's going to put you out of pain once and for all. It's going to give you the most beautiful smile, which you 100% deserve. Now, I want you to understand you've made a great decision being here today because these problems you're facing, the pain you're suffering, the teeth that you're missing, okay, you absolutely cannot live any longer like this. Okay, it's not fair for you, and these are problems that are only going to get worse. So that's why we're going to be a great team, and we're going to get everything back on track. Then you're going to finalize the statement by asking the patient and saying, now, patient, I've told you what I believe is best for you, and we've gone through everything in your mouth today. I'd love to know what you'd like to see happen. And then you're going to be quiet, and you're going to let the patient reaffirm everything you just told them. This is the single most important question you can ever ask at the very end. If you will commit to this, you will have your patients accept more treatment in bigger amounts and faster than you have ever thought possible, consistently and predictably. You will give them the power to determine their own treatment plan, and you will find out just how well you've done. If the patient doesn't give an answer, you've done terrible. If the patient gives an answer, you've done great. If the patient gives an answer you don't like, you now know. So therefore, you can go back and say, well, I'm very surprised to hear you say that. Perhaps there's something I said to you that wasn't very clear. I would like to know if you understand the consequences of not moving forward with the treatment we've discussed. You have to do this. We call this a trial close, if I have to go back to the selling analogy, to find out where the patient's at. You're going to let them play doctor. You must ask them, patient, what would you like to see happen? Or what would you like to do about this problem? And you let the patient build their treatment plan after you've already heard the answers. Remember this. You give them power to determine their own treatment, and that's the way you will find out how well you've done. Now, step 12, finally, based on this final interaction, you tell the clinical team member to get the patient concierge or the treatment coordinator to come into the room, or depending on your approach and the type of patient, if it's hygiene, operative, new, limited, consult, emergency, you can hand off the authority to the clinical team member to make the triangle of trust to the next person. And this, my friends, is where we will pick up next month. Right now, your action steps, other than practice, 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 are number one. I want you to make 100% certain that everyone is clear on what exactly the doctor expects and what is the protocol for when they walk into the room in any given situation with any given type of patient or visit experience. Number two, I want to make 100% certain that everyone knows exactly what the doctor's clinical exam, order, structure, flow entails so that the proper charting and notes can be organized and consistent across all team members. Number three, I want you to go over the next step options and the alternatives for every possible scenario so that everyone is on the same page based on the dynamics of a patient diagnosis or outcome. You literally are going to choreograph your clinical exam and engagement based on everything I've outlined here for you today.